The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Mike Riddle and is entitled, Do You Have a Biblical Worldview? For a free catalog of over 200 awesome Stealing the Mind Bible studies on DVD, CD, or audio tape, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
How many are still planning to go to our museum? Okay. As of this date, we've been open about almost 3 months. We've had 175,000 visitors and only 70 protesters. But I want to talk to you today about, do you have a biblical worldview? There's a lot of people sitting in church today that really don't know how to answer that. And there's some people sitting in church today really think they do. Over the past 150 years, though, the pressures from the media and the education system to accept evolution as a fact have challenged the church. And as a result, many churches today have given up the clear reading of Scripture. They've caved in. So do you have a biblical worldview? I'd like to start by giving you a quiz. And you must have 100% of my quiz or you do not pass. Quiz, here's your question. What time and place in history do the following statements describe? People reject traditional religion. Cults from the East are accepted. Astrology is practiced. Patriotism is declining. Homosexuality is popular. Education stresses knowledge more than character, the teaching of evolution. Motherhood is desired. Abortion is commonly practiced as well as infanticide. And here are your choices. America during the 1950s, ancient Greece during its decline, or America today? The answer is B and C. In other words, today, folks, we are in the same state that ancient Greece was when she declined. That's our country today. We are facing a grave danger ahead. In other words, is America becoming more of a Christian nation or less of a Christian nation today? We have more and more churches growing up, but what are we becoming? Let me show you. A minority of born-again adults, 44%, and an even smaller proportion of born-again teenagers are certain of the existence of absolute moral truth. Less than 10% of our teenagers believe in absolute moral truth. In other words, they do not have a biblical worldview because they do not accept the statement, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. They don't believe that. Where are our churches today? They've caved in. The survey also revealed that only half of our church leaders believe in absolute moral truths. Wow! What are they teaching? Stories. People are desperate for spiritual truth, but they can't find the answer in Christian churches today. We're too busy telling stories. It's even getting worse. The studies now show that only 30% of our youth keep attending church after they leave home. 70% of our youth leave the church after high school because no one has taught them how to answer the questions. They can't find them in the church anymore because the church just says, oh, bring in everybody and we'll tell you stories to tickle your ears. That's where the church is today. We've abandoned a biblical worldview. So why is a worldview so important? Because it shapes how we think and we act. And why is it important? Because the first and great commandment commands us to have a biblical worldview. And what is that commandment? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and don't forget this last part, and with all thy mind. Most churches have not given their mind over to God. They're still thinking like the world. Have you given your mind over to God? Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you go to Romans 12:1, it tells you what you have to do, how to become a Christian. Romans 12:2 says how to do it. It says, renew your mind. Quit thinking like the world. The world has a whole different worldview. It's based on evolution, materialistic thinking. But the churches have caved in today to be accepted by the world. See, if we want to develop a biblical worldview, where do you really begin? It's called in the beginning, because that is part of God's Word, that statement. And if we don't believe that, we've got a problem. See, if biblical worldview begins in Genesis 1, if we can't get this right, and we get this wrong, how can we be sure of anything in the Bible? Where does it start being true? When can we really understand it if we can't understand in the beginning God created heaven and the earth? We can't take that as truth. What else can we not take as truth? If you can't get the beginning right, how are you going to get the end right? You see, in this great battle, creation evolution, it's not a battle against evidence. That's what we need to understand. It's not an evidential battle. We all look at the same evidence. We have the same facts. We have the same science. So where is the problem then? We all have the same science, the same facts. Where's the problem? Because we have different histories. We have different worldviews and different foundations. See, one worldview says we'll trust God's wisdom, His word, as the source of all knowledge. The other worldview says, no, we'll trust materialism, evolution, as our worldview. Those are two different worldviews. They both cannot be true. You see, the biblical worldview starts that in the beginning God created everything, and what does the Bible tell us there? Does it say how long? It says 6 days. Does the word ages come in that verse? No, it doesn't. Does the words or phrase millions of years come in that verse? No, they don't. See, the plain reading of Scripture says 6 days. Then the next part of a biblical worldview says there's the corruption. We're going through what we call the seven seas of history. The biblical worldview, the corruption, we're talking about the fall. There was a real historical Adam and Eve. There was a real historical fall. It was not an allegory. Because you see, Genesis is written in the narrative in the Hebrew language. It's not written as poetry. Then the third sea, there was a real catastrophe. There was a real worldwide flood. It just did not cover the Mesopotamia area. It covered the whole world. That's why we find seashells on top of every mountain in the world. And you know what? They didn't have legs to walk up there either, did they? Then our fourth sea of biblical history is confusion. There was a real Tower of Babel. God really did come down and confuse their languages. And you know, this is the only explanation we have for why we look different today. See, it doesn't talk about races here, does it? The Bible never talks about race. Does the Bible even use the word race? Yes, it does. It says, run the race to the finish. But it never separates us by race. See, that's an evolutionist term. There's one race. It's called the human race. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And that's what we need to get back to and get rid of this word races. Then our fifth C is Christ. There really was a Jesus Christ. He really is God, and He came down to this planet. And then He really did suffer and die on a cross and was raised from the dead. And there really will be a final consummation where Jesus comes back and makes everything new. That is a biblical world view based on what the Bible teaches and not man's wisdom. See, man's wisdom teaches a different worldview. That billions of years ago, there was this big bang explosion. Now, I have a problem with that right there. Where did the matter come from to create that explosion? Because you know, it can't have something go bang until you have something that can go bang. You know, the laws of logic says from nothing, nothing comes. Right there, there's no foundation for a non-biblical worldview. It is against science. It contradicts itself. Then this other worldview that says over this big bang, over these billions of years, came the stars and then finally the planets, the earth, the sun, and the moon. And then over many more millions and billions of years came the first living cell. And then that first living cell gradually evolved into us. And that's a different worldview from the Bible. I don't see any of that in the Bible. When I read the Bible, when I read Genesis chapter 1, it says we were created after our kind. It does not say billions of years. When I read the Bible, it says Christ died according to the Scriptures. The question there is, according to what Scriptures? What Scriptures did Christ die for? See, the churches today saying, oh, the Old Testament is just stories. You don't have to trust that. Just preach Jesus. All that matters is love. You know, doesn't that sound like a Beatles record? You see, the churches are doing the same thing. They've been secularized. They're inviting the Beatles in. All that matters is love. The secular world teaches that. See, these churches have a non-biblical worldview. According to what Scriptures? According to the history. And see, the churches are teaching that's not relevant. That's why we have many church leaders today who do not have a biblical worldview, because they have not renewed their mind. They're thinking like the world. Let me show you the magazines that are getting into Christian churches today. Christianity Today. Here's what they're teaching out of that magazine. It's commendable that Christian parents want to resist the atheistic indoctrination of their children. Yet, as eminent Christian scientists like Francis Collins have demonstrated, it's possible to honor God scientifically without recourse to creation science. Folks, that is 100% compromise. That magazine is teaching our youth a different worldview. They're teaching our children to think like the world, not like God's Word. Why is that magazine in so many Christian churches today when it's teaching the wrong thing? It's not teaching the Bible. It's teaching our children to leave the church. There's another statement. They are presented as alternatives that exclude each other. This clash is an absurdity because, on one hand, there is much scientific proof in favor of evolution, which appears as a reality that we must see and which enriches our understanding of life and being as such. Who made that statement? The current Pope Benedict. He's teaching the entire group of Catholics away from the Bible. He is teaching our children not to trust the Bible. He's teaching all Catholics not to believe the Bible. Right there. Folks, there's not one proof of evolution. Not one. It's a man-made idea that cannot be supported scientifically. See, our history is being attacked. It's our history. We're sitting up there shooting at abortion, school violence, pornography, racism. We're shooting at all these things, and that is a good thing to shoot at. But while we're shooting at all these balloons up there, they're pulling our foundation out from underneath us. And the churches are saying, oh, don't worry about that. Just preach Jesus. All love is all that matters. And let's bring the Beatles in. You see, we should be shooting at their foundation. See, the foundation for all of these is materialism, also called evolution. See, the whole abortion industry comes out of a philosophy called evolution, the killing of innocent human beings. That's where we need to be shooting, at the foundation. What is the root of all these? See, Martin Luther, he had problems in his day too. He didn't have to worry about carbon 14 dating dinosaurs in 6 days because those weren't the problems of the day. We didn't know about dinosaurs back then. We didn't know about carbon 14. But see, he had to deal with other problems attacking the church. Things like indulgences. He had to deal with those things. And he had to come up with answers. See, he came up with answers. He challenged this other worldview where churches today aren't challenging anymore. They're accepting. John Wesley didn't have to deal with carbon 14. He didn't have to deal with dinosaurs or 6 days because the church believed 6 days back then. He had other things to deal with that were attacking the church, and he dealt with those. But today, we have different things attacking the church. See, we need to understand this nation has changed. Over the past 50 to 100 years, this nation has changed. See, we're no longer an Acts 2 nation. Today, we are what is called an Acts 17 nation. What do we mean by that? Well, let's go back to the Bible. Peter and Paul. Peter goes and preaches to the Jews, and he preaches the cross and the resurrection to the Jews, and they see it as a stumbling block. But when Paul goes and preaches the cross and the resurrection to the Greeks, they see it as foolishness. See, if you're going to be a Christian who's going to go out there and be a witness to the world, you need to understand what nation we are in and who we're witnessing to. We're no longer an Acts 2 nation. We're an Acts 17 nation. Let me describe the difference. When Peter goes out and preaches to the Jews, they see it as a stumbling block. Why? Well, the Jews understood Moses and the prophets. They understood that there was a creator God. They understood that there was sin. They understood there needed to be a blood sacrifice for sin. And here's Peter saying, you no longer have to do these blood sacrifices. Somebody just came and shed their blood once and for all. And the Bible teaches many came to believe. Thousands. Why was it only a stumbling block? Because they had a common foundation. A common worldview. But when Paul preaches to the Greeks, they had a different worldview. They did not believe in Moses and the prophets. They didn't understand things about sin. They didn't understand there needed to be a blood sacrifice. They believed in something called evolution. So what does Paul do to get their attention? On Mars Hill, Paul goes back and lays the foundation. He starts from a biblical worldview and says, my God is the Creator. Then and only then does the Bible teach that some came to believe and some wanted to come back and hear more. They had to have a common foundation. Folks, today this nation does not have the common foundation as the Bible teaches. They're believing in evolution. They're believing in millions and billions of years. So we need to go back and correct the foundation, and then we can build on that foundation. That is the biblical model. You see, we have attacks on biblical authority coming from everywhere. The education system, evolution, millions of years. We have it coming from the media, evolution, ridicule, millions of years. We also have the attacks coming from the church, millions of years. What do you see in common with all this? Millions of years. I don't see that phrase anywhere in the Bible. I see the word 6 days. See the attacks coming at our foundation. And this is a picture of part of our museum there. The attack is coming from this idea of billions of years at our foundation. What have been the church responses to all this? Genesis 1 through 11. Oh, it's not real history. It never really happened that way. Science has proven the earth is old. It's not a salvation issue. Let's not even teach it. It causes too much problems. And God could have used evolution. That's what I see coming from the churches. Have they really renewed their mind? Do they really know they're a Christian? Because the Bible teaches all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So I want to take a look at this concept of millions of years, because it's one of the biggest attacks we have coming on the church. Do millions of years really affect our biblical worldview? Or is it something we can ignore? Well, first thing they do is they change the order of God's creation. Millions of years changes the order of God's creation. People say, oh, God could have used evolution. See, if you're a Christian, you're asking the wrong question. You're making the wrong statement. You haven't renewed your mind yet. You see, that's the wrong statement. It's not a matter of what God could have done. It's a matter of what did He do. And as Christians, we can find that out in the Bible, can't we? See, we're listening to the world rather than going back to God's Word. We're listening to these people have all these credentials. Folks, you can have all the credentials in the world you want, but you can still go to hell. The order of events. Let's look at this. Two opposites both cannot be true. If you only have two choices, and that's all we have here, there are no third choices. And over the 25 years I've been doing this, nobody's given me a third choice how we could have gotten here. Either we evolved or we created. Let's look at the order. In the Bible, it clearly teaches that on day one, God created the earth, and on day four, He made the stars. Earth first, then stars. But the evolution model teaches that stars evolved first, then the earth. That's a different order of events, isn't it? That makes these models incompatible. The Bible clearly teaches that on day five, God created the flying creatures, the birds. And on day six, He made the land animals, the reptiles. So birds first, then reptiles. Evolution teaches reptiles first, then birds. We have a difference in the order of events. The Bible teaches the earth started with water. Evolution teaches it started as a fiery mass. The Bible teaches we had sin first, then death. Evolution teaches just death. These two models are completely opposite. You know what that means? One of them's right. The other one's wrong. And there's no gray area to stand on it. Because once you bring evolution thinking into the Bible now, then what you're saying is you're going to change God's order of events. How many of you are going to stand before God and say, God, you didn't tell us right. The scientists did. Anybody going to do that here? But that's what you're doing when you bring in millions of years. You are telling God He got His order wrong. You're changing the clear reading of God's Word. Have you renewed your mind? Do millions of years affect the biblical worldview? They had death before sin. The Bible teaches in Romans 5:12, death came through one man. That talks about human death. But then in Romans 8:20-22, it says all creation groans. All of creation's under the curse, not just humans. So the Bible clearly teaches no death before sin. But millions of years said there were millions and billions of years of death, decay, and disease before sin. What do we do with the gospel now? I have a challenge. If God is God of love, then why is there so much suffering and death? We talk about a God of love. See, the atheists are going to come to you and say, you talk about a God of love, why is there death and suffering then? Here's the answer I get in a lot of churches. We can't know the mind of God. We just need to trust God. Folks, that's the correct answer, but it's the wrong answer. What? It's a correct statement, but it's the wrong answer. That type of answer does nobody any good. It misses a great opportunity to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. It shows you haven't renewed your mind because you don't trust the history of the Bible. You see, if you're going to answer that, it's based on whether you believe in millions of years or the biblical answer of thousands of years. How you answer that question is what you believe about the age of this earth. Let's take a look at this. The fall. Let's go all the way back to the fall and accountability. Adam and Eve have just rebelled. They've eaten them to the fruit, and God comes down, and He seeks out Adam. And what does Adam say? God, it's not my fault, it's not... What's that word? Woman, you gave me. What did Adam do there? Adam did not accept accountability for what he did. He was blaming God, wasn't he? He blamed God. So now God comes over to Eve. What does Eve say? God, it's not my fault, it's that serpent you made. What did Eve just do? She didn't accept accountability either. She blamed God. Folks, I'm here to say, if you're believing in millions and billions of years, you are blaming God for all the death and suffering in this world. Why? Because, folks, if this earth is millions and billions of years old, that means there was millions and billions of years of death, decay, disease, and destruction before sin. And who would be the author of death then? God. Who is the author of all the evil that's going on then? God. You see the issue here? Our foundations are under attack, and the churches aren't responding. They're going on and siding with the millions and billions of years with a non-biblical worldview. The authority of Scripture is what's at stake. That's what we're really about at Answers in Genesis. Creation and evolution is a very important issue because it's our foundation. But what we're about at Answers in Genesis is upholding the authority of Scripture from the very first verse to the very last verse. That's what we want to be able to do. The authority of Scripture. And the serpent approaches Eve. And what did she tell Eve? That's not what God meant. Here we have Adam and Eve walking in the garden talking to God, and certain... serpent comes up, puts doubt in the mind. That's not what God really meant. Let me tell you what God meant. Eve, how could you be so easily deceived by walking? You were walking there with God. But yet when I read the Scriptures today, it says evening and morning first day, evening and morning second day, evening and morning third day. And what are we being told by the world? That's not what God meant. Let me tell you what He meant. Those days really meant millions of years. Where do we get that millions of years idea from? Not from the Bible. We get it from man's wisdom. Have you renewed your mind, heart, soul, and mind? How much are you willing to hold back from God today? Are you willing to accept the plain reading of Scripture? Do millions and years expect a biblical worldview? They change the plain reading of the text. When I read in Genesis 1:31, God has just finished His creation. He looks back at His entire creation, makes this statement. Everything looks very good. That Hebrew word for very means exceedingly perfect. His creation was perfect because we have a perfect God. But yet, you add millions and billions of years. What you're saying is God's very good includes death, decay, disease, struggle, suffering, and extinction. Because that's what the fossil record is. It's a record of dead things. Is that God's very good? Because if that's God's very good, then what else does it mean in the Bible when God calls something good? And why would any of you sitting here today want to go to heaven if His very good is death, decay, and disease? Do millions of years affect a biblical worldview? Yes, they do. When I read in Genesis chapter 1, I read first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. When I read through that, I see there's a number there attached with the word day in each case. Is that significant? It might be, because you read through the Old Testament, you'll see a number with the word day 410 times. You know what it means every time? This might surprise you, but it means a day. Do you know those 410 times, it never means long ages, never? That can be significant here. So if it doesn't mean long ages anywhere else in the Bible, why would it mean long ages in Genesis? But I also read the Bible says evening and morning, first day, evening, morning, second day. You know that phrase evening, morning occurs 38 times in the Old Testament? You know what it means every time? And this might surprise you. It means a day. It never means long ages. God made it very clear what He meant. The plain reading of Scripture says evening and morning, one day. Now, I would like to ask you a question here. How many here believe the Ten Commandments? Anybody here really believe the Ten Commandments? Okay, you believe the Ten Commandments. Do you think they really happened? It's history. It's in the Bible. Do you think it really happened? Okay. Do you think the Ten Commandments, if we opened it up, we could understand them? If you opened up the Ten Commandments, the book of Exodus, you can open up, you can read them, you can understand them. So you agree they're really history, it really happened, and we can understand them. In other words, let me give you a couple examples, see if you understand. When it says, thou shalt not steal, Is that an allegory? Is that real? That's real. Okay, hope so. Because if it's not, I'm taking a lot of wallets here. How about this one? Thou shalt not murder. Is that an allegory? Is that real? Okay, so you agree the Ten Commandments are real. They're real history. We can understand them. Let's take you to the fourth commandment then. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. You just agreed that's real history, and we can understand it. What does it say there? 6 days. In other words, folks, if you don't believe the days of Genesis are real, literal days, then what you're saying is, let's get rid of the Ten Commandments because nobody can understand them. You see how plain God made it? Not only put it down in Genesis, He wrote it down Himself on the tablets. 6 days. Do you have a biblical worldview? Have you renewed your mind and given it over to the Lord? You see, if they don't mean days in Genesis, then where else did they not mean days? How long were they going around the city of Jericho? See, we need to be consistent. Are we consistent in our Christian walk or are we not? If it doesn't mean day in Genesis, why would it mean a day here? What's your rationale? And how long was Jonah and the big fish? You see, if we can't understand Genesis chapter 1, why would we understand Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, Book of Exodus, Book of Deuteronomy? Where did we start understanding it, and who sets the rules? I believe God set the rules, that He gave us His Word to understand. And it begins in Genesis 1, verse 1. Do long ages affect a biblical worldview? They're inconsistent with observable science. I'm here to tell you today that long ages are not scientific. Let's start here. Have scientists really proven the earth billions of years old? See, a lot of churches have caved in. They just believe that because the scientists, some scientists, not all scientists, there are many scientists don't believe this. Why don't we listen to them? Oh, they believe the Bible. We can't trust them. Wow. Where are our churches today? Let's take a look at this. First of all, we need to understand there's two kinds of sciences. This is the first place we are confused. See, there's operational science. This is the kind of science we can observe, we can repeat. This is how we put men on the moon. It's how we build our computers, how we do our medical technology today. It's observable, it's repeatable. But then there's historical science. These are things that happened in the past. We weren't there to see them. We have to make assumptions about them. And our assumptions are based on our worldview, these presuppositions. Some people have a presupposition that God's Word is true from beginning to end. It is an historical account of what really happened. Other people have a worldview that God's Word is not true or entirely true, and man's wisdom is elevated to the highest level. Man becomes the measure of all things. So everything's based on a presupposition worldview. There's two sciences. So are long ages necessary for what we observe out there? Well, there's Mount St. Helens, before 1980. How many have been to Mount St. Helens? It's a great trip to make. I've had the opportunity to actually camp out in the crater there. Mount St. Helens, before 1980. Does it take a long time to change things? Well, there's what a day can do, folks. That's about a day. Mount St. Helens is about 1,400 feet lower than it was the day before. That didn't take a long time at all. Devastated the entire area. And incidentally, Mount St. Helens is a small volcano. And it didn't take long. Geologic processes. We look at the large canyons at Mount St. Helens. Here's a large canyon we nicknamed the Little Grand Canyon. About 1/40th the scale model of the Grand Canyon. It has some of the same geologic formations we find in the Grand Canyon. How long did it take to make this canyon? One day. Oh, Mike, how do you know this took only one day? Well, that's very easy. One day it was not there, and the next day it was. See, we have observable evidence, not assumptions, but observable evidence. Large canyons can and do form rapidly. Have you renewed your mind, and do you trust God's Word for what it says? Sedimentation. We look at this. We read our textbooks. These thin layers of sediments take hundreds of thousands of millions of years to lay down. So if you go to this canyon by Mount St. Helens and look at all these thin layers of sediments and count them all up, you'd assume this canyon is 10,000 years old, and your answer would be absolutely wrong. This canyon was formed in one day. All those sediments were laid down in one day, giving the appearance of long ages. Are long ages necessary? No, they're not. They come from man's wisdom, not from God's Word. Have you renewed your mind? Now, what would worldwide flood look like? Now, the ark, when we look at this ark, it's almost like a symbol of salvation, isn't it? Only those, the eight people on that ark, survived. Everyone else perished. Everyone else perished. What would a worldwide flood look like? Well, I want to show you a video clip, about a 90-second video clip here. And this is a video clip we actually have in our museum. We have dozens of these types of video clips, high quality. Let me show you what this video clip looks like. Give you an idea what the worldwide flood was like. It was not something like Katrina, folks. Katrina was nothing compared to worldwide flood. There's too many people out there trying to say the flood was a local flood, folks. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible clearly teaches that all life outside that ark was destroyed. Question is, are you on that ark or are you on the outside of that ark? Where are you in your Christian walk? Have you given your whole heart, soul, and mind over to God? Are you holding back? You see, a worldwide flood would have created large canyons instantly, buried billions and billions of creatures. And that's exactly what we find in the fossil record. Fossil graveyards all over the world, laid down by water sediments. Rapid uplifting of mountains. And it was the only known cause of an ice age. That's a worldwide flood. Folks, it's real history. It's not just a story. Have you renewed your mind? Let's go to another area that's commonly challenging our youth today in the schools. Carbon 14 dating. I'm going to show you it's not hard to understand this thing. Carbon 14 dating. First of all, where do we find carbon 14? We find it in living things. See, carbon 14 is in the atmosphere. It gets produced by the cosmic rays from outer space, bombard our atmosphere, convert some of our nitrogen atoms into carbon 14. I had to say that for you people that like physics. The rest of you can ignore that. Carbon 14 is in the atmosphere. Carbon combines with oxygen. We get carbon dioxide. Plants take it in. We eat it and we breathe it. So all living things have carbon 14 in them. Do rocks eat or breathe? No, they don't. So they have carbon 14 in them. No, they don't. So carbon 14 can only be used for once living things if you're going to do the dating process. Now, more on carbon 14. Carbon 14 continues to get inside of you while you're living because you're eating and breathing it. But once you die, do you continue to eat and breathe? No, you don't. That was a simple answer. No, you don't. There was no tricks there. Therefore, once you're dead, carbon 14 is no longer being put, you're no longer taking it in, but it decays out of you. See, carbon 14 is what we call an unstable isotope. Hope you know what I just said about you all. You all have carbon 14 in you. Carbon 14 is unstable. What does that make you? Right. What I mean by unstable is it radioactive. It is radioactive. It radioactive decays into another element. It actually decays back into nitrogen. So it's in you while you're living. You continue to take it in. But once you die, you no longer take it in, but it continues to decay out of you. And we estimate about after about 80,000 years, all the carbon-14 should have decayed out of a fossil. So if we find carbon-14 in something, it means it cannot be older than 80,000 years. But if we don't detect any carbon-14 in something, that's good evidence it's older than 80,000 years. And that's pretty repeatable science right there. That is pretty repeatable science. That is not just a creationist idea. Evolutionists and creationists all agree on that because we can do that in the labs. Now, let's take a look at something. Let's go to this geologic column, as we see in the textbooks. And I've condensed it down just to three eras here. The Paleozoic, Mesozoic, and Cenozoic eras. And then we have the Paleozoic estimated to be about 543 million years ago. The Mesozoic, we estimate, the evolutionists estimate about 246 million years ago. And the Cenozoic, they believe, began about 65 million years ago. This is a geologic time period according to evolutionist thinking, their worldview. So we decided to challenge this worldview. Rather than just sitting back and accepting it, we decided to believe the Bible. Isn't that an odd thing? We decided to believe God's word first and challenge the evolution thinking, rather than believing the evolution thinking and challenging God's word, as most churches are doing. We took coal samples. Coal is supposed to be millions of years old. According to evolutionists, coal is millions of years old. So what we did with the scientists, they took coal samples from all up and down the geologic column. Now certainly, in the Paleozoic, Mesozoic, and most of the Cenozoic, all the coal we found in there should have no carbon-14 in it. Should all be gone. Remember, all the carbon-14 should be gone after 80,000 years. Coal is organic material. In every single coal sample, guess what we found? Significant, measurable amounts of carbon-14 in every layer in the geologic column. Wow! Is that good news? You know what that good news means? You can believe the Bible without changing it. This results indicate the entire geologic column cannot be millions of years old. This confirms the Bible and challenges the evolutionary idea of long geologic ages. Thousands, not billions, folks. The evidence clearly supports the Bible. See, if you're believing in millions of years, you need to understand what the science is really saying. And your first source should be the Bible anyway. Have you renewed your mind? Do you really have a biblical worldview? But we didn't stop there. We decided to go after the biggest one, diamonds. One of the hardest elements, if not the hardest element, we know. So there's no contamination here. We've actually ruled out contamination with carbon, with the coal also. No contamination. Incidentally, we didn't do the experiments ourselves. We took the coal and the diamonds to the top evolutionist labs and said, here are the coal and here are the diamonds. Tell us what you find in here. And this came out of their reports. Diamonds are supposed to be billions of years old. Just look at that diamond on your finger, ladies. That's supposed to be billions of years old. But I'm here to tell you, you got cheated. And every diamond sample we took, there were measurable and significant amounts of carbon-14 still there. What that means is those diamonds cannot be millions or billions of years old. This is observable and repeatable science. Every diamond sample, every coal sample still has carbon-14 in it. You see, the evolutionist dating methods are based on assumptions. This we can observe. Conclusion, the scientific evidence supports the biblical model of a young earth. Do long ages affect a biblical worldview? They contradict the words of Jesus. Uh-oh, now we're really getting personal, aren't we? What did Jesus have to say? What did Jesus think about history? Well, Jesus believed in Matthew that there was a real flood. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, Jesus believed the flood was a real event, not some allegory. In John, chapter 5, verse 46 and 47, Jesus believed the words of Moses. Jesus made the statement, if Moses wrote about me, if you can't believe what Moses wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? He put a lot on history, didn't he? Know what else he said? Jesus Christ also believed in a young earth. This will really make it personal. Because you're going to have to take it up with him now. In Mark 10, verse 6, Jesus makes a very profound statement. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. What Jesus is saying there is that man and woman were on this planet from the beginning of the creation, not a creation, but the one and only creation. Jesus believed man and woman were on this planet from the beginning of creation. That leaves no wiggle room for millions of years of evolution. How does Jesus know this? The Bible also clearly states He's not only our Savior and Lord, but He's also the Creator. That's how He knows. John 3:12, Jesus makes another statement. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? In other words, Jesus Christ says, if you can't believe the physical, the earthly things, how are you going to believe the spiritual things? How are you going to believe the gospel if you can't trust the foundation? That's what Jesus is saying there. Jesus believed the history was very important. If your long ages affect a biblical worldview, they make the Bible's history irrelevant. You see, every one of them are Christian doctrines. Starts in the book of Genesis. What do we find in the first 11 chapters? The origin of space, time, and matter. The definition of marriage. Why we have different people groups. Why we have death and suffering. Genesis 1 through 11. Why Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross. Genesis 1 through 11. Why God will have to make everything new. Why we have different languages. Why we have thorns and thistles. Why Jesus called the last Adam. All Genesis 1 through 11. Is Genesis 1 through 11 very important? Yes, it is. Because if that's not real history, that means God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on a cross for something that never really happened. What kind of a God do we have now? See, we send our children off. Most of our children still go to the public schools. They learn about geology, biology, anthropology, astronomy. They all learned it from a secular worldview. But I'm here to tell you, we can find the history of every one of those sciences in the book of Genesis. Oh, I don't see the word geology in Genesis. No, the word geology is not in Genesis, folks. But the history of geology is. It's called a worldwide flood. If you don't understand or believe the worldwide flood, you will never understand why this earth looks like it does today. Biology, that word's not in the Bible either, but the history of biology is. It's called everything's created after its kind. If you don't understand the Bible, then you won't understand why things look the way they do. Anthropology. The whole history of anthropology is right there in the Bible, Genesis 1 through 11. It's called, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to stop calling our children animals because they're not animals, because no other creature in the world was made fearfully and wonderfully. See, we've been indoctrinated. We haven't renewed our mind. We're saying, we're part of the animal kingdom. No, we're not. God did not make us part of the animal kingdom. He made us in His image and His likeness. We've been indoctrinated by the world. We need to renew our mind and have a biblical worldview. How much do you trust God's Word? See, we look at the Gospel. We forget there's really three parts to this Gospel. There's the power. That's Jesus Christ, birth, life, death, and resurrection. There's the power of the Gospel, the resurrection. But we forget there's also the hope in the Gospel. We have something to look forward to. But we also forget that there's a foundational part to this gospel. The whole reason Jesus Christ came to this planet is because what happened in the book of Genesis. The whole reason the Bible was written because what happened in Genesis. There are three parts to the gospel, and it's our foundation that's under attack. You take away the foundation, we have no explanation for the gospel. You might be able to tell the gospel, but you can't tell anybody why Jesus had to go to the cross if you don't believe the foundation. Do we have a biblical worldview? We should, because folks, we have nothing to be ashamed of, because we have the truth with a capital T. We need to be on the offense on this. We have all the scientific evidence, and even more important than that, we have God's Word. We're here to offer you evidence. We're here to offer you help to do this. Folks, you know we can change our generation. But we also have the power to change their children and their children's children. Did you know we can affect people that aren't even born yet? That's what we have the power to do here today. Have you renewed your mind? Do you have a biblical worldview? See, it's not going to impact this next generation until it becomes relevant to them. And right now, it's not relevant to them. They don't believe the foundation. They've been indoctrinated. It's got to be relevant. They've got to believe it. They really have to believe this is real history. They got to have confidence in it that can't be shaken. We got to put a solid rock foundation underneath this next generation so that they understand the reason why we have John 3:16. The whole reason we have John 3:16 is our foundation message in the book of Genesis. God bless you.
Amen. This has been Do You Have a Biblical Worldview? Presented by Mike Riddle. To receive a free catalog of over 200 awesome Stealing the Mind Bible studies on DVD, CD, or audio tape, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach and trips to Israel, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 24 hours a day or on the web at compass.org.